girl boss. Very much. What is up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. I'm joined this half hour on the Civic Media Radio Network by such a girl boss, Milwaukee Common Council alderperson, Jocasta Zamarripa. Welcome, Jocasta.
Thank you so much, Maggie Dawn. I'm so excited to be back on the radio waves with you, my friend.
Yes, we met eons ago back when we were doing shows on Resistance Radio on Brady Street, the liberal heart of Wisconsin.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I miss it.
It was a lot of fun back in that tiny little studio. Boy, would that sucker heat up in the afternoons, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Oh!
Yes.
Back then, Jocasta was the first Latina in the Wisconsin State Assembly. You went on to become the first out queer common council member for the city of Milwaukee. Congratulations on making so much history.
Thank you so much. Very important that we have a seat at the table there, as you know.
Yes. Well, listen, I worked for the city, I don't know, nearly 5 years. And I remember looking in the common council chamber and thinking, there's not nearly enough women in here. It was very surprising to me. Mm. I think it's been more difficult in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee for there to be increased gender diversity than it has been for some racial diversity, right? I mean, we got to our first full-term elected black mayor. Congratulations.
Yes.
To Mayor Johnson. That's history-making. First black elected county executive. Love me some David Crowley, right? And yet we've never seen a woman elected as a chief executive, either of the state, Milwaukee County, or the city.
I know.
Do you make of that?
We're longing for that day still, but we're making strides, like we were just talking about offline.
Yeah.
Most diverse common council, most women ever to serve on the Milwaukee Common Council. So that's exciting. I know the county board recently celebrated 50-50, right? Because
actually, women are now the majority of the Milwaukee County Board. It is 10-8 women.
Awesome.
Which is huge history. And as you were noting, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting that milestone for the county board, as well as the Milwaukee's Common Council is now the most diverse it's ever been. Congratulations for being part of that as well.
Thank you. It's exciting times right now for our city and our county.
It really is. And you're serving with the first Latino Common Council president, my good friend, as well as yours, Alderman Jose Perez. So much happening here. So the Common Council, for those that don't know, is a 15-member body. It now, for the first time, has a majority African-American caucus, 8 African-Americans.
Yes.
The most women, 6, and the most out LGBTQ members, 2, you and my good friend and former colleague, now Alderman Peter Bergelis.
As you can imagine, I'm so, so excited that we now have a queer caucus at the City of Milwaukee Common Council. So excited.
Hard to caucus with yourself.
Yes. 1 is definitely the loneliest number. So with the election of Bergelis, I can only imagine all the strides we'll be able to continue to make towards equality for the city of Milwaukee and its people.
I'm going to read a little bit about what President Perez had to say. The more diverse representation you have, the diversity of thought, the diversity of engagement, people who may not have felt either represented by people that don't look like them now have a voice and a venue to live out their values.
Just
well said.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. President. He sends his greetings, Maggie Dawn. I just was on the phone with him on my drive here to Waukesha.
Well, what's up, Jose? It's always good when I get to connect with my friends. Tell me about what it's been like for you. You've run a number of election cycles now, running as an out and proud member of the LGBTQ community, also as a Latina. How is that? Do you think your experience is different? How does it change that? Or do you think electoral politics are difficult no matter what? A little bit of both.
Yeah. It definitely is. It can be tough. I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm honored to be an out elected for our community. I'm honored to be the first Latina, a leader in our Latino community, so needed. But it can be difficult on the campaign trail, as we were just talking offline about my reelection that I just got through. I'm so happy to be over that hump and have just gotten sworn into my second term as alderwoman in the city of Milwaukee. But my opponent was absolutely calling me out as only wanting to represent queer folks and Latinos. And it's just so unjust that people think, well, she can only she only wants to represent these specific constituencies. Meanwhile, seemingly it seems like a straight white counterpart can represent everyone. So it's tough.
Someone says something like that, and I'm like, yo, check your privilege. How's that working for you? Because you're running as a white person saying, oh, no, I'm good. I can represent people whom I don't share a common sense of experiences with. But yet that's somehow a negative for someone that does come from those communities and those experiences. Wow.
Yes. And that was his tagline. He's going to represent all of us. Jocasta only wants to represent some of us. So it was just, it was absolutely offensive. And I wonder, you know, what would have happened if had I been a straight white male candidate? I can't help but think that he's pointing this out because I live in this intersection and I do represent these underrepresented folks.
Yeah, of course. He's not saying that to a white dude. I mean, we don't have to beat around the bush on that one. Let's just call it out. Check your privilege. Stuff like that really, that's the stuff that really grinds my gears, as they say.
Same.
I wanted you to get the opportunity to share. I know you helped advance some important discussions in the legislature and some important legislation. What, looking back now at your time in the assembly, what were the one or two things that you're most proud of?
Well, I always, unfortunately, the things I'm most proud of, as I spent almost a decade in the minority party with the Democrats because of the gerrymandering that happened, which hopefully we'll be able to correct some of that with the new maps that are in place this coming
fall election.
Yes, these fair maps. But I spent my tenure in the legislature and in the minority, and yet I fought for things that I'm so proud of. Things like pro-immigration policy at the state level, things like driver's licenses for undocumented Wisconsinites. What I think of the equality agenda. That really was an idea. Well, it wasn't even my idea. I got it from some queer college Democrats who came to me at a conference and said, we didn't even know, they heard me on a panel and said, we didn't even know that this pro-equality legislation was being introduced. Because, you know, the press doesn't shine a light on it because we don't have the votes. It's not advancing. It's not even getting a committee hearing. So what I did was I worked with my queer colleague, Representative Mark Spreitzer. We were both in the assembly together at the time. And we put together an equality agenda. We put all of our bills, our pro-equality bills, on that agenda. There was something like four or five bills that session. Some of them symbolic, like celebrating June as Pride Month. Others like getting rid of the that ban on same-sex marriage that still exists in our state constitution, even though it's
unconstitutional federally. Yes.
But we had those measures in our equality agenda. We rolled it out. We went to local journalists that would hear us. And we were able to get more attention so that queer Wisconsinites knew, hey, we're here, we're fighting, we're working on great pro-equality measures, and you have a voice in your legislature. And it was, I credit those students, those local Wisconsin College Democrats who came up to me and said, please push this out so people know you're doing this.
That's amazing. One of the things that I always try to take great care in pointing out, especially in this moment of book bans and all such nonsense, is that each individual's dignity is besmirched and lessened when we don't acknowledge the dignity of others. And that when we celebrate and elevate folks that have been historically underrepresented, and that when we celebrate and elevate the dignity of people that may not be like us, that actually elevates and celebrates all of us. That this work of equity isn't zero sum. It's not someone else does better, so you have to do worse. That all of these things add to greater community wellness. And I think one of the things that really is the hallmark of being a Milwaukeean or somebody from Rhinelander or a Wisconsinite generally, and that's a deep sense of community connection. We've always had that here. And I applaud and celebrate certainly the work that you've done, Jocasta, to help make that a reality for every single one of us, because that's the point.
Thank you, Maggie Dawn. Hear, hear.
Yes. Now, at the Common Council, what these days is at the top of your agenda?
So, you know, I was just, I was talking to the folks at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel because they were covering this notion, this, the most diverse Common Council we've ever had. And now we're going to have another out, the first openly gay man serving in the council in Peter Bergelis. And what do you plan to work on, Jocasta? And certainly, Peter and I can't wait for Pride Month and all those great symbolic measures and raising the Progress Pride flag together outside of the municipal building and so on and so forth. But we're hoping to also work on substantive issues. For me, I know Peter and I have both been part of tough dialogues with our trans community, in particular, our trans women of color.
Yes.
Who don't feel comfortable, who don't feel listened to in particular by their law enforcement, our law enforcement.
Yeah.
So I have a real desire to continue to work on positive police community relations in particular, with our queer community, in particular with our trans folks of color.
Yeah.
Certainly I've heard that, Bergelis has heard that, and that's something that I hope that we'll be able to facilitate, whether it's legislatively or administratively. I know MPD, I know Chief Norman has already expressed interest in helping to have this dialogue to improve relations there.
Yeah, it's wonderful, and also a historic moment as I zoom out and look at it, to have a Black chief of police and a Black sheriff.
Yes.
First female sheriff in the state of Wisconsin.
Yes, Sheriff Ball.
All this potential there. My guest this half hour is Alderwoman Jocasta Zamarripa of the city of Milwaukee. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to have plenty more with Alderwoman Jocasta when we come back, including the agenda items for the Common Council that I think I want to ask you some questions about the HOP.
Okay.
And economic development in the city, because I think those are two issues that not everyone in the city feels are serving their community as well as serving all Milwaukeeans. I think that has some resonance statewide as well. Don't go anywhere. My interview and time with my friend and yours, Alderwoman Jocasta Zamarripa, after these brief messages.
Wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds just... Who are people gonna rise up?
Don't worry, folks. I won't quite break into song with Tracy Chapman this afternoon. Hard to love everything she's ever done. I also have deep love and respect for my guest this half hour, City Milwaukee Alderwoman Jocasta Zamarripa. We were talking a little bit. I'm fortunate enough to live near the HOP. I've taken it to go to some concerts down at the Summerfest grounds. But it's been a point of contention and consternation at the city, literally since the first time it was ever mentioned. What's your take? How do we make this work for all Milwaukeeans?
So the HOP, you know, it's difficult because I do have a number of constituents in my near South Side district that are in opposition to the HOP. You know, the HOP happened before I got to, it was already there when I was elected to the Milwaukee Common Council. And I do think it's an investment, and now we have to continue to invest in it. I'd like it, the other day I was hoping to take it into Walker's Point to head to Movida Hotel Madrid for some of the best sangria in the city.
Oh my gosh, no kidding.
Yes.
What a vibe in there too, with the carpets hung.
Oh, and they redid it. Oh, you got to get over there. They redid the...
I was just there in February, but it's different now.
Yes, I think they just finished up the back of it. So
that
it's
new
just
space.
Wonderful. Yes.
By the way, we're talking about Movida in Walker's Point, just south of downtown. But
yes.
Continue, please.
And the HOP can go, like, I can hop on the HOP and from City Hall and take it to the public market for lunch.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, if it could go a little bit further into Walker's Point, that would be wonderful. If we could even get it to go into my district, which is a little bit further south. I think we would start to get the buy-in from constituents
yes.
In other parts of the city. Right now, it's kind of dedicated, focused in the downtown area because that's what we could afford at the time. I hope that in the future, we'll continue to build out into going into the north side and the south side.
Yes. So that people feel like it's their hop, right?
Yes.
Not just for visitors or not just for folks that are fortunate enough and frankly wealthy enough to live in the neighborhoods that are currently bordering or abutting the hop. I couldn't agree more, not to bury my lead on it. We built it. Let's make it work.
Yes.
That's going to require more investment. It's tough. I know people have got a lot of feelings. Milwaukeeans always have a lot of feelings. We're not always great with change and new stuff, but we built it. Now let's make it fabulous. Let's make it work for everybody.
Absolutely. I'd love for people to take it, be able to take it to American Family Park or formerly Miller Park. I'd
yes.
love for people... For people to take it there.
Field.
Yes, yes.
Stop with all the freaking cars. I'm a native Milwaukee and lived in New York for just around 5 years, and I didn't own a car, and it was as if I had a burden lifted. It was so amazing, and ever since that time, I'm always looking for public transit ways to get around, and I think you put your finger on it, Alderwoman, that if we could get the hop expanded, don't be afraid of the investment. Don't be afraid of success in Milwaukee. And let's have it reach into these more diverse communities. Let's give people some transportation options. I think that would be absolutely wonderful. And again, engage more buy-in.
Exactly.
I think the same story is kind of where we're at when it comes to economic development and how do we build a city that is commercially robust, but that is lifting all of our residents and taxpayers. When we think about economic development, what are some of the investments that you'd like to see in your district in the coming years?
Well, I have a very densely populated district, highly residential, and yet I want to continue to support our small businesses, continue to breathe life into small businesses on the near south side. I want to support the mayor in his goal of getting to 1 million population
yes.
numbers. And I think that we can get there. Now that's going to mean investing in housing.
Housing.
And we've got to do it. I think it's a wonderful goal. I think we're already seeing the south side. It's so densely populated. People want to live in Milwaukee. People
yes.
want to live on, I'm a big cheerleader for the south side. We're so densely populated. It's a beautiful thing. And I think the more that we can continue to make that investment in housing, make sure that we're, as you said, growing our tax base,
yep.
Appealing to those young professionals so they want to make their homes in the city of Milwaukee.
And pay taxes in the city of Milwaukee.
Yes, and not contribute to the brain drain.
Yes.
These are good things. We have got to consider making sure that we're an attractive place for folks to want to make their lives.
Yeah, one of the things that, for me, I have always loved the density and knowing my neighbors and feeling that sense of immediate community. What I think is amazing to me about Wisconsin writ large, even into the most northern reaches and in more rural areas of the state, is that people share this sense of community, even when their nearest neighbor maybe a couple of fields away. Milwaukeeans, folks from Rhinelander, La Crosse, Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin Dells, the Door Peninsula, all the way up to Ellison Bay. People in this state believe in community. And I think understanding that we can uplift, that we can help build the economies of communities by making sure all of our communities, not just in Milwaukee or the big tourist destinations, but all of our communities are economically vibrant and succeeding. In my first half hour today, I was talking a little bit about the RNC coming. So my first question to you is, excited or trepidatious?
Oh, gosh. A little bit of both.
Sure.
It did pass. Now, the RNC, much to the chagrin of many Democrats and progressives, it passed the Common Council unanimously.
Yes.
And sometimes I know sometimes I have some regret. I know I have colleagues that have regret for voting for it. Could we have given them at least a couple of no votes to show a dissenting vote at least? I do have that regret. But I know that Mayor Johnson felt that it was a huge plus to be able to say unanimous support of every council member. And that helped him because, he had to lobby to get that conference there. Yeah. And at the end of the day, these conferences are revenue for the city
yes.
of Milwaukee, for the businesses. It puts us on the map in a global way.
Yes.
And these are good things for the city of Milwaukee. But I hear people's pain when they say, how dare you? How dare you roll out the red carpet? for potentially for a Donald Trump candidate.
Yes. I have always been pro RNC. I understand, I think, the emotional reaction because of, frankly, the rhetoric that is largely rooted in hate. And again, I don't think most conservatives actually subscribe to that. But the standard bearer does.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge. My guest this half hour, can you believe the half hour is up?
No, already?
Isn't that incredible?
I was just warming up.
Of course, because you're old radio pro with me.
Joel and Jocasta. Shout out to Joel Clefish.
There you go. My colleague that has a weekend radio show. What time is Joel's show on?
Joel's show is at, I believe it plays out pre-recorded at 3 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays.
Raised in Wisconsin, talking hunt, fish, camp.
Love
it. With Joel Clayfish, former radio colleague of my guest this half hour, City of Milwaukee Alderwoman Jocasta Zamarripa, a history maker everywhere she goes. My good friend and yours, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Maggie Dawn.
Love you. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere because I'm going to be talking about 420 Day. That's coming up. And of course, we've got Local and Overlooked with our good friend and Civic Media colleague, Terry Barr. Your farm update is up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
But a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Oh, no. Talking about a revolution. Oh, while they're standing in the welfare line, crying to those of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment line.
Then.
It's Friday. I'm Maggie Dawn, and joining me for this next segment is my good friend and Civic Media's own Terry Barr for our regular Friday segment, Local and Overlooked. What's up, Terry?
Hey, Maggie. How are you this Friday?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I am good, too, and I'm excited about today's Local Overlooked topic because I think you and I are going to dive into Earth Day, which is becoming Earth Week, and I think it should be Earth Year.
Every year, forever, right?
Absolutely. Every year, every day, all the time. You know, I think people forget because his name isn't brought up as much as it used to be. Senator Gaylord Nelson, a Democrat from Wisconsin, is the one that really got the whole idea of Earth Day moving. It happened on April 22nd, 1970. It was the first official Earth Day, and the whole idea for Nelson came about when he saw teach-ins going on the UW-Madison campus in opposition to the war in Vietnam. And so he thought, well, why can't we do something similar, but in honor of the earth and the environment and trying to get movement and legislation? And when he went out to California as a Wisconsin senator to see one of these horrible spills that happened along the California coast from an oil rig, that's when he decided, I can't just sit around anymore. We're going to make this happen. He got college kids first in Madison, then across the country involved. And then Earth Day became official. And of course, we know what happened after that. I love this. He pushed for things like the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act. And all of that happened by the end of 1970. And it's grown ever since. But again, I think his name sometimes is forgotten and that we have such big roots in this Earth Day and Earth Week and Earth Year, as we're going to call it, right here in Wisconsin. And I know you have some amazing guests coming up next week.
Yeah, Terry, I'm super excited. All week on the Maggie Dawn Show, we are going to have Earth Week and Earth Day supporting guests. The lineup is as follows. On Monday, we're going to have Dr. Ann Getson. She's a family physician that has started to focus her practice on the impacts of conservation policies, but also climate change on families and on our general overall health. She attended COP28 this past year, so she's going to have a ton to share. On Tuesday, I have Melissa Johnson from Wisconsin Green Fire. Wednesday, Pete Knodak from Climate Safe Pensions, which is one of those elements that, listen, many of us, if we're fortunate enough, we've got our 401k plans or an IRA of some sort. And it is becoming more and more of a question to money managers. Are you investing in a way that promotes conservation and health of our environment so that folks like my friend Joel Kleefish can continue to hunt, fish, and camp in this beautiful state we call home? On Thursday, I'm going to have Carrie Schumann, the executive director of Wisconsin's Conservation Voter Alliance. Friday is going to be two special guests from the National Center for Climate Integrity. Got to end with a big bang there. We're going to talk about a couple of the lawsuits that have been filed against big oil, because what we now know is that the largest oil manufacturers in the United States, think ExxonMobil and the like, knew that CO2 emissions and many of our human activities based on oil were causing significant climate disruptions and climate change, and frankly lied about it just like the tobacco executives did. So the Center for Climate Integrity next Friday. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Isn't that interesting when you talk about, you know, the oil and then going back to understanding in 1969, Senator Nelson, again from Wisconsin, saw this terrible oil spill along the California coast, saw what it was doing there, and tried to make a difference by creating Earth Day and getting awareness going. And sometimes that awareness gets lost along the way, whether it's the guests and the topics you're talking about or just the simple things we can do at home. And I know the theme for this year's Earth Day and Earth Week is all around plastics and trying to reduce the production and the use of plastics, along with the disposal of plastics, which, you know, it's not that hard. I was recently in Florida on the beach, and it was Fort Myers where they were hit hard with a hurricane.
Yes.
And people were still leaving their trash on the beach there. And I'm thinking, they have enough things to deal with right now, let alone you people leaving your trash on the beach. I just find some of this just mind-boggling that people still don't realize. Just pick it up. It's not that hard.
It's really interesting because I noted on my way in, and I've noticed this for the past like month driving in from Milwaukee to Waukesha, I get off on, generally, I get off on exit 295. If you're going east to west on 94 between Milwaukee and Madison, if you get off and you want to go to downtown Waukesha, you're getting off on exit 295. And there is a huge amount of trash at the freeway exit. Two things occur to me. Lots of people are terrible litter bugs. I hear all kinds of biased nonsense when it comes to this. And I'm like, that's not true. You go almost anywhere and there's litter bugs and litter around in certain areas. I probably shouldn't have done this, Terry, but I'll tell you what happened. This was last summer.
Oh, I can't wait.
I was pulling up to a stoplight and I had just rolled to a stop and this person in front of me rolled down their driver's side window and threw out like an entire bag of fast food garbage and a drink cup. Not probably so smart, but before I knew it, I'm up and out of my car, picked the stuff up, poured the like what was left on the driver's side hood and was like banging on the window like, you dropped this. Did you need this bag? I probably should not be doing that. It's probably a good way to get myself in some super hot water. But I was so shocked. It was at this really busy intersection. By the way, not in Milwaukee. Really busy intersection. I was like, "What? You don't." Most people, at least, are a little ashamed to be littering, so they'll do it when there's no one. This was middle of a busy intersection, people walking all around just like, oh, the street's my garbage can. I couldn't believe that.
Right. I own this street, and I can do whatever I want. No way, not anymore. People are watching.
Yeah, not with Maggie Dawn behind you at the stoplight. Yeah, and especially not with me in my beater Honda sitting behind you at the stoplight. That's not going to happen.
That is so good.
I also pick up trash when I see it. That's just kind of become a habit. And talking, I think, about plastics in particular is really important. And it's important to understand where I think a lot of our biggest categories of waste and pollution are coming from. I'm certainly going to spend a whole lot of time on that next week. And a lot of the biggest categories of waste aren't being driven by individual consumption, though it takes zero effort to recycle, so do it, right? I mean, this is just simple stuff. But the consumables, the way that what we choose to purchase from what kind of producers, certainly the our appetite for fish in this country, which has gone up immeasurably, has contributed to basically a stateside floating island of fishing nets and plastic in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, which is just shocking to me. Unbelievable.
All those pictures are awful.
Oh, no kidding.
Well, I have one bit of good news in our local but overlooked. In case you haven't heard about this, and this is a great tie-in to the environmental issues that we're talking about, the Fox Wolf Watershed has an alliance, and they're usually pretty quiet, but they are doing a huge cleanup on Saturday, May 4th, and this could end up being one of the largest water cleanups in the state. So if you're listening and you're thinking, why is this important? Well, we want clean water, of course, but the fox wolf feeds into Lake Michigan, and that alone just speaks volumes of importance. So there will be volunteers gathering from south of Fond du Lac all the way up to Green Bay. And I have a website if people want to learn more, if you want to sign up and help out. But they already are saying this is going to be one of the largest cleanups in the state. So grab a pen, because here is that website. It's fwwa.org. That simple.
That's SWWA.org for the Fox Wolf River cleanup scheduled for May 4th. You're going to find people south of Fond du Lac to Green Bay working on cleaning up, again, that Fox Wolf River cleanup. I'll give you a little flashback. This is a Maggie flashback. Two things. When I talk about and think about the Fox River Valley, this would have been in fourth grade. You know, you get quizzed on Wisconsin geography. Not quiz. It was like there's a whole section and you got to learn the history of the different parts of the state. My dad was really, really extremely helpful with memory tools to help me memorize information like each of the different regions of the state and where exactly they are and what they're famous for. So when it came to the Fox Valley, I will to this day remember the memory device that my dad gave me. He's like, just picture a fox in a paper hat floating down a river, because the Fox River Valley is known for the paper mills. To this day, I will remember that. Thanks, Dad. And thanks, Mrs. Updegraff, for teaching me about Wisconsin history back at St. Pius the 10th grade school on the northwest side of Milwaukee. Terry, I always love having you here, and those kinds of river cleanups and people understanding that what they dump in rivers feeds into our precious lake, and here in southeastern Wisconsin and many other places ends up affecting some of our drinking water as well as the beaches and parks that we all enjoy. One of my favorite parks in the entire state of Wisconsin is basically the entirety of Washington Island on the tip of the Door Peninsula. Oh, of course, Washington Island State Park, which has, in my opinion, one of the most breathtaking beaches that I've ever been on, because it's all of those flat rocks that have been smoothed from all of the lake tides in and out over hundreds of years. It's like getting a hot stone massage if you go out there in the middle of the summer when it's about 90. Now, those are rare at the tip of the Door Peninsula on Washington Island, but if you get a good hot day and you lay down on Washington Island State Park's beautiful rock beaches, that's a free hot stone massage that's only possible if we keep our rivers and lakes clean. What are you doing to celebrate Earth Week, Terry?
Oh, I am looking for opportunities to help clean up, but we do the exact same thing you're talking about. When we take a walk, we always take a bag with us to be able to pick up the junk we see. And I think right now, especially as we really are finally, I think, crawling out of winter, you're seeing so much of those opportunities. Even if it means you pick up a couple of things here and there, you're still helping more than not. And I want to get to that. We have some trails through our neighborhood, and I've seen some junk that I need to get my hands on. So that's what I'm going to do this weekend and through next week.
Wonderful. You know what we're going to do, Anya? I just decided this live on the air. You're hearing this for the first time. We're going to take texters next week, and I'm going to buy three of those arm extender things that you use to pick up trash. And at the end of the week, live on the air, we will pick three winners of the trash picker upper arm thingies. And that will be my gift to listeners of the Maggie Dawn Show during Earth Week to take on your walks and help keep Wisconsin clean and beautiful, because it is a great place on a great lake. Thanks so much, Terry, for helping us get ready for Earth Week.
Thank you, and have a wonderful Earth Week. And I can't wait to hear who wins your picker-uppers.
Wonderful. Thanks, Terry Barr, friend of Civic Media. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm going to talk about 420 when we get back after these brief messages.
Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be.
What's up, Wisconsin? Happy Friday. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy almost 420 day. That's tomorrow. And it's yet another reminder of why we should all hate Robin Voss. I mean, very simply. There seemed to be some momentum back in late 2022 into early 2023 to at least get medical marijuana legalized in the state of Wisconsin. But for reasons that remain a complete mystery to me, other than he is a fuddy-duddy that is completely out of touch with Wisconsin, Robin Voss remains, has the most narrow view of marijuana that I can imagine. I mean, basically, Senator Devin LeMahieu has a more broad, and that's, this is also a conservative Republican. What the hell is wrong with Robin Voss? He went from saying, we're going to be able to make some strides, we're going to get at least medical marijuana legalized because people in the state of Wisconsin are hurting. They're having to resort to serious opioid medications, which, have a much, much, much exponentially higher, greater risk of addiction than does marijuana to manage pain and chronic diseases, as well as cancer. What the hell is wrong with Robin Voss? I just don't understand this. He said, this is, I'm quoting from an article published January 11th by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is what Robin Voss had to say back then. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that it is helping people who have a chronic disease, not creating a pathway or gateway to recreational marijuana somewhere in the future. I know our caucus would not support that. I don't think it'd be good for the state. First of all, we don't have medical marijuana, so what the hell you been doing for the last year and a half? Why don't you get on it? Why don't you help relieve some pain? Your caucus wouldn't support recreational marijuana? What the hell are you thinking? This is Marquette University Charles Franklin poll from that was run January 24th to January 31st this year. Medical marijuana, 78% of Republicans support it in the state of Wisconsin. Just legalizing it, just let it go. It's tied in Republicans, 46% to 46%. And by the way, back in March of 2022, 51% of Wisconsin, of Republican Wisconsinites said that they supported full legalization. So both of those numbers are basically within the margin of error. Our caucus wouldn't support it. Well, maybe your caucus needs to be doing what your constituents want, which is marijuana legalization. What the hell is wrong with Robin Voss? This is one of those absolute no-brainer issues. It literally shouldn't have any partisanship, because guess what cancer doesn't do? Doesn't discriminate between Democrats and Republicans. Guess what fibromyalgia doesn't do? Affects us all. Guess what opioids don't do? They addict conservatives and Democrats and liberals all the same. So what the hell is wrong with Robin Voss? Overall, according to this most recent MU poll, again, this is statewide poll, 86% of all Wisconsinites support medical marijuana legalization. What the hell is wrong with Robin Voss? If you talk about wholesale legalization, 63% of Wisconsinites support that. What the hell is wrong with Robin Voss? And here's what. The next logical question would be, well, gee, if we legalize it, how much money are we going to save because we're going to decriminalize it? How much money are we going to make because we're going to tax the heck out of it? According to the Shepherd Express, the most conservative estimate based on a study from 2013 by the ACLU is that Wisconsin would save an average of $44.3 million of taxpayer money per year if cannabis was legal. Friends, do not go read the Badger Institute's numbers on this, because they're making, it's a very conservative think tank, and they're like, oh, it wouldn't really save all that much money. First of all, if you're conservative, why aren't you a libertarian on this and you just let people make adult choices because they're adults? You let people drink into oblivion. We haven't criminalized the first DUI beyond a misdemeanor and a ticket and get on your way. All of this is just super hypocritical. But the Badger Institute's numbers basically talk about the most narrow category of costs related to marijuana criminality and the over-criminalization of drug possession. So don't look at those numbers. The most conservative number by any much more independent analysis is $44.3 million. Oh, by the way, an older study by Harvard economist Jeffrey Myron in 2010 concluded that the United States would save $13.7 billion per year in government expenditures on prohibition enforcement, and that specifically in Wisconsin, we'd save $170 million a year. That's a Harvard economist. What the hell is wrong with Robin Voss? I don't get it. Conservatives want it legalized. Liberals want it legalized. The vast majority of Wisconsins want it legalized. It would save us clearly tens of millions of dollars. And a report in 2017 by the Wisconsin Department of Revenue published an estimate of full legalization that we would make about $138 million a year in tax revenue. So I'm going to do the math. Hey, Robin Voss, are you listening? I'll speak slowly. The most conservative and independent objective math says that if we were to fully legalize marijuana, which the vast majority of Wisconsinites want, which cancer patients and others suffering from debilitating chronic and painful conditions clearly want and deserve, the state of Wisconsin would be net plus, in total, at least $200 million a year. Robin Voss, do the right thing. This is the easy one. Legalize marijuana in the state of Wisconsin. We're a marijuana island currently on the books. This is ridiculous. First offense is a misdemeanor that carries a maximum penalty of 6 months in prison and a $1,000 fine. Let's stop wasting everybody's taxpayers and time with marijuana criminal enforcement. I'm Maggie Dawn. That's going to do it for this week of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy 420 Day. TGIF, everybody. I'll see you next week for Earth Week. It's going to be a lot of fun. Take care. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But always remember, it is better when we stand together.
Keep on running, 'cause the winner don't quit on themselves.